Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, welcome back to another podcast. Filling in for Big Z tonight is me, UJ. Sorry, Big Z couldn't make it, but we do have the rest of the crew here with us, and let's introduce them right now. Run Dog.
Yo.
Bob.
Hello, hello.
Connor.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
And of course, our producer, Kid Jay. Before we get started, just a few tidbits of Lion news here. Big V, Mr. Vitae, has been put on the injured reserve and probably will not play for the rest of the season. And I think we can probably say it's a pretty good bet that he will not ever be in a Lions uniform again. So
I think that's fair.
Thanks, Big V, for what you did. It's too bad you couldn't stay healthy. You're a pretty good player, buddy. So, also, Houston is going to be out to at least, looks like, late December if we get him back before the end of the season. So, that's going to be iffy, too, because even if we do get him back late December, I don't know if he'll have enough time to get in game shape and all that. So, let's hope for the best on that one. Jonah Jackson today was actually on the injury report for a wrist or a hand injury. So, don't know much about that right now. We'll see what happens with that. Also, I think that was it.
I don't know about Gardner Johnson, but his workout videos, he's looking strong. I'm feeling a comeback soon.
Oh, good. That would be awesome. Great.
He's like,
what about Bruce Irvin?
He's been lifting weights and like doing the, with the strings.
Well, good. Let's hope for the best with that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Donovan Peoples-Jones is back to practice.
Yes. That is good.
Michigan legend, Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, a couple new additions.
Besides Bruce Irvin.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. The new additions here, Bruce Irvin, former defensive end from the Seattle Seahawks, 11-year career, former first-round draft pick, 55.5 career sacks in 103 games. Lions just signed him to the practice squad. What do you guys think of that?
Oh, so the practice squad?
Well, right now, yeah.
Yeah, could always use another body in there. I mean, hope we won't need him.
It'd be a nice boost, but.
Yeah. He's 36 years old. I think he was watching reruns of Justified on TV when they called him. And he said he waited till the end of the show and he called him back. And then, because you don't want to like turn that one off like halfway through. So then he called him back and he answered the call. And he's here now. Campbell says he looks like he's in great shape. So we'll see what happens. Like you said, Bob, I hope we don't need him.
He might be that like perfect like third down. He might. I mean, I hope maybe he can boost us a little bit. We've been struggling for that guy to help Hutch. If he could add like a third down presence, I know he's older, but you know, there's a lot of experience gives you a lot of edge and stuff. So, I mean, you never know. I know they only signed him to the practice squad, but we need help in that realm. So, I'd be excited if he could provide some.
It's true. Connor, what do you think?
I think it's a low risk, high reward move. It's not like a splashy Montez Sweat type move, but they need help on the pass rush and they haven't been able to do that against good teams. So any sort of wisdom, even if he just takes on a coaching type role, I think it would still be beneficial to this team. So I think it's a good move.
He could sack people with his mind. I don't know if that's true or not, but he's very wise.
That'd be awesome if he could.
Okay. That's kind of it for the, what little news we had, but today we have a very special guest, someone who's willing and daring and stupid enough to enter the lion's den.
Ooh.
It is Jim Riley, self-proclaimed suave man about town. They just let him out of Bellevue for the night to come here to do the podcast. And out of Springfield, Illinois, here he is, Jim Riley. Welcome to the Lion's Den.
Thank you very much, Jack. And I thought that was just between you and me about Bellevue, but it's cat's out of the bag, but I'm still in the Bellevue.
Public record.
You're a Bears fan. It kind of sets you up.
I'm a Bears fan. Let me say this, though. I, against the Packers for a Lions-Packers game, always on your side. Just for the record, I would rather see that team go down in flames than yours.
Right.
That's probably the last nice thing I'll say about the Lions today. But
I'll take it.
Yeah, no.
And give us back David Montgomery, would you? No. Come on.
Never.
Never. He's all ours.
Oh. Yeah.
So, Jim, what led to this affliction?
Give us your history.
This thing, your Bear fandom.
Okay, most people who grow up on the south side of Chicago will migrate toward that team that had Butkus and Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and the great Bob Avellini.
Legend.
Not to mention Doug Plank,
man
who they named the 46 after.
Right.
So that was my experience. I kind of loved him from an early age. And if you watch Walter Payton's career, or if you would have watched Barry Sanders' career in Michigan, you would have loved that team. So it was hard to resist as a kid. They were always on TV too. So
they brainwashed you.
Yeah,
they did. Starting at a very early age. Yeah.
Hmm. So what do you think of this team right now in the quarterback situation?
That's a good question. First of all, I'm not one of the Kool-Aid drinkers for Mr. Bajent. Bajent filled in nicely for a backup, and he could have a career as a backup guy, but it looks to me like that might be his ceiling. And the frustrating thing is, Jack, that we don't know still what Fields' ceiling is, because there's always been a missing piece. There's always been a problem with somebody's letting you down on the line. Receivers aren't breaking open. The scheme has been called into question a bunch of times. It seems to me that I wish that they could just come up with a scheme that's going to work for the talent they have.
Do you blame
in front of the
quarterback. Eberflus
they haven't
for that,
really done
or
that.
Luke Getsy for like the way they're using him?
I kind of think it's more. I think it's more maybe especially now on Getsy, since Eberflus has taken over the defense, right? And his defense has played well the last several games, except against, the Chargers. But I think Getsy, I think he has too much play to call the game. And I don't think he's using run pass option enough.
Yeah.
When Fields was healthy. That's kind of how I read that.
Yeah. So Bajan isn't the next Brock Purdy. That's what I have been hearing from Bears fans for a couple weeks now.
You know, in that first game when he was under control and everything was really high percentage, he looked like he could control.
He was a heck of a find, though.
And then it kind of went down.
That he could be a competent backup in the NFL where they got him.
Yeah.
He was like undrafted, right?
Shepard.
Yeah.
Right.
He seems like.
I guess it proves there's gems in the rough somewhere.
More serious question for you. What do you think of the Montez Sweat deal? Are you good giving up a high second rounder for your highest paid player now? And do you think that's good for the Bears' future?
I think in this case, it's worth the risk. All right. Just because, you know, how many high second round draft picks can fizzle out or become nothing?
They can become Claypool.
This guy, at least. Yeah, that's true. That's fair. But their weakness, their glaring weakness on defense was that line. You had to address that somehow, but it kind of suggests that they don't want to tank this year. I don't know. I like him being picked up. Sweat seems like a good player, especially if you can get one more guy on that line around him who's going to help cave things in on that offensive line. So we'll see.
You think they're going to win another game this year?
I have this sad thought that it's not going to be this coming Sunday. I do. I think they'll win another game. They were 2-2 with Bajan.
Well, yeah. I was going to mention that. 1-5 with Justin Fields and 2-2 with Bajan.
Yeah. Well, now consider the quality of their opponents, though.
Was it the Saints?
You had Carolina in the mix there.
It seemed like Moore decided to catch for Bajan, too.
Right. Right, and there were a couple of close ones that could have gone the other way that Moore came down with, too.
I'll tell you.
And I'm not trying to talk down Fields' ability, but...
Well, Moore has been part of the reason Fields struggles, because he's been dropping balls for Fields. One right in the red basket.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that just goes to what you're saying. Nothing seems to be working when he's out there. Like, something fails somewhere.
Right. The one thing, and I'll tell you, as a Bears fan, Eberflus drives me bananas. He doesn't know how to manage a clock leading up to halftime, leading up to the end of a game. I've wanted to reach through the TV and strangle him a couple of times, and I'm sure probably every coach does that to their fans. But he seems like to really have a master's in not knowing how to manage the clock.
His ability in a press conference to even say more nothing in a very confusing way.
Oh yeah, the Fields injury status was bizarre.
We'll
make a game time decision. So is he playing? No. Right. But it's a game time decision.
And speaking of that, you guys probably have accessed all this information already, but I did hear, I don't know, a couple hours ago that apparently Fields is gonna have to wear something on his hand, on his throwing hand, for that thumb. I don't know if it's gonna be a glove or what, but that could be a factor.
Has he thrown with a glove before? I don't know if I've seen
it. It's not going to matter, but that's nice of you to share that information.
Two-glove Goff wasn't as good as no-glove. So
Aim for the glove.
Yeah.
We don't need no glove.
Stafford used to rock a glove occasionally, and I didn't think he played as well with the glove.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, Connor, now that you brought him up, I wanted to ask you, panel, a question about, is it weird for... how do I want to phrase this?
Is it weird that Stafford
Do you think if Stafford were in this offense now, that things would run as smoothly, or do you think he might throw a few more picks than Goff?
That's actually a very
I think the offense would be designed a little differently, just because Stafford has a different skill set than Goff. I think we'd see more deep balls and a little more play action, and Goff's more than a game manager. I don't want to say that, but they just have different skill sets. And that's what I think Ben Johnson's done so well is cater it to Goff. And I think he would have done that.
From outside, that's a good point, Connor, that they would probably higher risk, higher reward with Stafford. But Goff has been a surprise to those of us outside of this whole thing, because it seemed like he wasn't that impressive with the Rams. So something's going better. Yeah. Maybe the scheme is better fit with Detroit for his skill set. Or McVay rubbed him the wrong way, or
I think McVay just did a great job of gaslighting everybody on him. Was what really happened. Like, he hung that all their struggles that last year on Goff, pretty much.
He did,
and like, you know, they did start to struggle as Goff lost, you know, resources around him. Their running back, their O line started to go away, and like, but you know, he was still a pretty young quarterback at that time too. I mean, but like, he did all, you know, he got into that Super Bowl. It wasn't like he didn't contribute to that effort, and he, you know, put up a lot of points, and he's always been good everywhere he's been. I just think he didn't fit with McVay. I think that was a clash of personalities more than anything. That's my theory anyway.
And getting him to the Super Bowl is an important point, because that suggests maybe that the next time, maybe this year, that he's in a big spotlight, maybe he won't.
Hey, Jim, I had a question about a past Bears-Lions game.
Yeah,
Calvin Johnson catches the winning touchdown on the corner of the end zone, and then they say, oh, you didn't complete the process. Like, wasn't that bullshit call? And Lovie Smith's like, of course, that's
I remember that.
Like, come on.
I remember that. There was that's when they were having real issues trying to define exactly what a
catch. So you're saying it was a catch and the Lions got robbed.
What a catch is. And the, you know, did they complete the move? I have to have a review of that play. The play stands as called on the field.
Oh boy.
So what are you feeling about, what do you think gives you guys a chance to, if any, to pull it out this weekend against us?
Okay. Two things, like incredibly stout defense and limiting you to 21 points or less. And then on the other side, they got to have quick releases on every pass. They have to have a really serious run pass option. Can't turn the ball over. Those are the three things, or four things, however many those were. Obviously, turnovers, big thing, but you gotta get that ball out of Justin Fields' hand quicker. Bajent did have him on that. Bajent was able to release that ball fast. So
that's a big deal.
So you're saying
sound like there's much chance, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got
a snowball's chance. No.
So So if you were, if the Bears were to somehow, by some miracle of God, like something that's nearly impossible, but if they were to win this game and you were to celebrate and you were to go sing the Bears fight song, would you be able to do it?
Bear down, Chicago Bears. I'd have to make up most of the rest of the lyrics. I could get a half a line in there, probably.
All right. Well, that's just something.
You have a tune, which is watching.
Yeah. Wait, true.
You do have a good voice.
You've been a Bears fan your whole life, and you only know the first line?
something.
He can sing and dance the Super Bowl Shuffle.
That's
though.
All I don't know.
Even I know more of the Bears fight song than that.
Oh, let's hear that.
Yeah.
As long as I get to see the fridge dancing again like that, that would be tremendous.
Oh boy. Yeah.
That's scary. Yeah. So I was well, what is it? It's coming up on the 40-year anniversary of the last time they won the Super Bowl. So
oh my God.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Jim. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 driving through, you know, the south side of Chicago neighborhoods at midnight, or 10 being you'd have to recite the Chicago Bears fight song to save your life. How scared are you of the Lions this weekend?
Oh, if I wanted the Bears to win, then I am super scared. I think that's close to driving the south side around midnight.
You got to give me a number here. Come on.
Okay, but the lower number is more scary, right?
Well, you have to recite the Bears fight song in order to save your life. Someone's got
to save my life, literally.
Yeah,
okay, then I'm like a 9.5. I'm like a 9.5.
That's appropriate. That's appropriate. You know, maybe you're not as crazy. What's going on, man?
No, you know what? Let me. I will throw this into the mix. The only other thing that I didn't mention when we were talking about how the Bears could possibly slip through here is if the Lions are caught sleeping, and every team says that they're not going to get that trap game. The only way the Bears win is if they are not firing on 6 of their 8 cylinders. If that's the case, and they let some
offense
happen,
12 cylinders
against them,
engine in Detroit, so.
that's a possible win. It's a Jaguar.
As Zach would say, it's a Jaguar.
Yeah.
The Jaguar. Oh, we're talking Jacksonville now. Yeah, anyway.
Their quarterback engine might be breaking down a bit in Jacksonville.
That's right. That's a good point.
Whoops.
Anybody got any other questions for our guest today?
Who's the greatest running back of all time?
Okay.
Walter Payton.
Jeez.
Jeez,
I thought you were going to say Barry Sanders. I thought every Bears.
He didn't ask you who the second best running back of all time.
Oh man, this is rough. This is rough company. I wish I had somebody. Can someone help me here?
There's no help in the lights.
The guys in the white jackets are coming. They're coming.
Going back to Bellevue.
Oh boy. Well,
wait. Did you give
if
him?
There are no other
his
questions.
Prediction.
We'd like to thank Jim for being brave.
We need Jim
and
prediction.
What?
We need a prediction.
No. I'm sorry, Big Z. I apologize. Jim, we have to ask you your prediction for the game, score and things you see happening in the game. What do you think the final score is going to be? Give us a couple of details. What's going to happen?
Bears 72, Lions 3. No.
I like this guy.
Realistically, okay, I'm going to go. I think maybe the Bears have a stupid day offensively. Ooh. And there's a pick six.
All right.
And we might look at 31-17, Lions.
All right.
See your sanity. I think they might have misclaimed you at Bellevue.
I think you're right. Thank you.
You're making a lot of sense. I don't know why, other than the fact that you're a Bears fan. I just don't, you know.
I am realistic. I'm a realistic right. Bears fan. I wish I had better news for Bears fans, but
oh,
no.
Oh boy.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Jim.
Well, Jim, thanks for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
You're a brave soul.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Hope so. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well,
maybe it's because he's bipolar. Is that the thing? He's like,
I don't know.
Smart, but then he likes the Bears.
Hey, yeah, predict the Lions win, so he must have some wisdom.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say, but
I know. Like, it's weird.
He was a brave soul for coming out, though. I'll give him that.
He was. So. He was.
Yeah, wow. So that was really good. Jim Riley entering the Lions' den. And now we have another special guest with us today, Drew Kavanaugh.
What's up, Drew?
Hi, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Drew, tell us about yourself a little bit real quick.
Well, I'm originally from Michigan. Grew up in Rochester, a city 30 to 45 minutes north of Detroit. Nice. Grew up a Detroit fan, Lions, Tigers, and all that, and it's been awesome.
I see you live near Rochester. That's nice. Really cool.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful area, man. I loved it.
Where'd you go to high school?
It's our old neck of the woods.
I went to Stony Creek, and then my my senior year, I went to IMG in Bradenton, Florida.
Oh,
okay. Stony Creek.
Where are you at now?
Cool.
I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Playing baseball, we hear.
Nice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Play with Charlie. That's my guy.
San Francisco Giants.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Fantastic.
Nice.
Good luck with your future, man.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Guys, any questions? Or are we going to go right into our – what do you think here? I'm winging it here a little bit. Tell me out.
How are you feeling about this matchup this week?
Yeah, what do you think?
Kind of a trap game for the boys. I like that we got Montgomery back. It's good to have his presence in the backfield again. I was missed a little bit. I actually made it out to Raiders Lions game, and Jameer obviously had a big day that day, but I think David was still missed in that game. So I think I'm excited about the game, and I think that we should take care of business.
All right,
this is his first game back in Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
It is.
We haven't played him yet. Yeah, that'll be a revenge game.
Well, Drew, on this segment, what we do is you're a guest picker, not to pick strawberries or apples or anything like that. You're going to make picks and predictions about this game. So the first thing we pick here is called what we call the roar of the week. And that means you're going to pick one player who's going to have a standout game and tell us a little bit why you think that. So let us know. Who is your roar of the week?
I think, Rudd Dog, I'm going to have to ride with you here and say that David Montgomery is going to have a big week. I think that he's going back to Chicago for his first time. He's got something to prove, man. It's his time to get shown what he's all about. I think that's the roar player of the week. It's going to be
what
David Montgomery.
What do you think Montgomery. He does? Yards.
I think he goes, I'm going to say he's going to go for 100 again.
Ooh, nice.
And
nice.
We'll say just one tutty.
Okay, so he is your what of the week here?
A roar player of the week.
You're what? You're what?
Huh?
You're what of the week?
You have roar!
Roar!
All right. I love it.
That's awesome.
Let's go around the horn here. Bob, who's your roar of the week?
All right. I like Drew's pick there with Montgomery, but I'm going to go a different direction. Our defense got a little embarrassed last week, and I think they're going to take that to heart and turn it around. So I got Hutch as my roar of the week this
week. Wait, you're week.
What? I think he's... details. Yeah. I think that whole D line and that pass rush, they're going to all be focused. And I'm seeing two sacks for Hutch this week. He's my roar.
Awesome.
Woo. Connor, how about you, buddy?
You know, the St. Brown brothers have a podcast. Equimenius is with the Bears. And he said something that really struck me. He said he's not afraid of the Lions because they're still the same old Lions. And that made me really mad. And I think his brother, the better receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, is going to get revenge for that comment. I think he's going to get 135 yards and two touchdowns. And he is my roar of the week.
Ooh, nice. I love it. I love it. Red dog, how about you?
Okay, I just feel like this guy is gonna be the roar of the week often going forward. It might get boring after a while, but Jahmyr Gibbs, I just think he's getting more and more consistent, and with his consistency and his speed, is gonna be, he's just gonna be a dynamo in every game. He's gonna be so hard to stop. I think he's still gonna have less yards rushing this week than Montgomery. I think it'll be sort of similar, like 80 range, maybe close to 100, but I think he's going to have over 150 yards from the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to take a screen the distance from like 60, 70 yards out. That'll be a nice one. But I think he's going to have two touchdowns, one rushing, one through the air. Jahmyr Gibbs is my of the week.
Ooh. All right. Jahmyr Gibbs, right. Baby. I like it. Kid Jay. What do you think?
My roar of the week. I think Jameson Williams is just going to continue on the momentum he had last week. He is going to I think he's really going to shine against this Bears pass defense, and I think he's going to get 100 yards and one touchdown, and that touchdown is going to be like a 50 yard like bomb. It's going to be like a play action pass where he just takes like the. Where he just goes, he just takes like a seam route all the way down. He runs behind the defense and scores. So he's my roar. He's my roar of the week.
All right. Nice. Kid Jay, I love it. I think every Lions fan would love to see that one happen. See Jamo's break out. That would be great. Well, my roar of the week is I'm being a little repetitive here, but Drew, I'm agreeing with you, buddy. I think Montgomery coming back, it's a revenge game for him. He wants to show the Bears what they're missed out. And by not signing him, and he's going to go big. I'm saying 140 yards and at least two touchdowns. And, it's just a revenge. And he's going to want to be fed the ball. He's going to be doing a lot of this and, feed me gestures and stuff like that. So, David Montgomery, 140 yards rushing, two touchdowns is my roar of the week.
Nice.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z, I'm sorry I cannot make the podcast tonight. A rare moment in my life. I'm sure UJ, Rud Dog, Connor, and Bob all really stepped it up, and we had some terrific guests tonight as well. I just want to get my thoughts in on the pod here about this game really quick. The Bears. I'm surrounded by a lot of Bears fans in my life. They're arguably my most hated opponent. This includes my own father, who we've had on the podcast here, Bear Fan Dan. Either way, I always look forward to these games, Bears-Lions, and the Lions, extreme favorite, home crowd, rowdy, of the big victory in L.A. And this is a great matchup for the Lions. A very interesting aspect about this matchup is the Bears, despite their horrible record and a subpar defense, they do one thing extremely well, and that's stop the run. They're actually second in the NFL in rush defense. You know who's third? The Detroit Lions. But I digress. And I just love this matchup. You have the Lions offensive line coming off as one of the best rushing offensive performances you'll see all year against the Chargers, who are arguably one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL against this stout Bears rush defense. I think it's strength on strength, and I think the strength favors the Lions, especially at home for the Lions, because the Bears give 20 more yards rushing on the road than they do at home in Chicago. So the turf, I don't think, favors the Bears in this matchup. Lions interior offensive line, when healthy, although Jonah Jackson is hurt again. Let's hope he's back. But either way, I still think is a strength. And even when Montez Sweat, the Lions proved that they can handle a top-edge pass rusher. When they handled Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa last weekend, none heard of whatsoever. So my roar of the week this week, of course, is a guy, you call it a revenge game, if you will. But that's a guy that left Chicago to come to Detroit to be a winner. That's right. It's David Montgomery. David Montgomery is going to go for 110 yards in this game. That's if Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't break off a couple big ones, that is. But either way, David Montgomery at least is getting one touchdown and over 100 yards in this game, in his revenge game, proving, hey, I left Chicago to come to a winner. And that winner is the Detroit Lions. And we are very blessed to have him. So that's my roar of the week.
Okay, so now we go into our world-famous predictions. Yes, world-famous, folks. No matter where you go, whether it's Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, South America, it doesn't even matter.
Even Antarctica.
People will talk about our world-famous predictions.
That's true.
And this is, we're going to predict the outcome of the Lions game this week. And as you know, we've been very accurate this year. The crew has been incredibly accurate this year.
We're all 7-2.
Yeah.
It's really
which
weird.
Is really super high percentage. Yeah, I mean, that's... It's just unbelievable. It's unheard of.
You know what's even crazier? It's the same record as the Lions. Our predictions are exactly all right on with the Lions.
What are the odds of that? It's like...
I don't know. Astronomical, I'd think.
I don't even know. So we're going to start with our guest today, Drew. So, Drew, what's your prediction for the game and the outcome?
I got the Lions, I'm going to say 42-2. I'll give them double digits. I'll give them 10. I'm going to say 42-10 Lions.
All right. I like that.
I think that Jared's going to have a big game. I think Sam Laporta is going to get a good amount of touches. Maybe we might see a late Brock Wright touchdown. I think that could occur again. And then, yeah, I think that's going to be a good run out there.
I think he made the right call with that prediction.
Yeah. So that was 45-10, Drew?
42-10.
Oh, 42-10. Okay. That's an awesome prediction there. Bob, what's your prediction?
All right. I like this game for the Lions. I don't think they will be let down. I mean, they know what's up against them. They're going to go for that number one seed in the conference. So I think they're going to be ready for the Bears. Even with Justin Fields coming back, they do have trouble with the running quarterback sometime, but ultimately will beat his ass. So I like the Lions winning this one 38-9.
Whoa.
Nice. They don't get to the end zone, the Bears. Nice. And Fields is running for his life. And Goff and the offense are gonna be clicking it all day. So 38-9.
I love it, man.
Like
good prediction. It makes so total sense too. Connor, how about you? Sense.
I first of all, beating the Bears is so exciting because I live in Chicago, so I don't know. Bears fans annoy me. They're always thinking they're so good and they're bad every year. It frustrates me. I think the Lions are going to cruise to an easy victory. I think Justin Fields is going to be a little rusty, and let's be honest, he wasn't that great when he was sharp. So I'm going to say 36-10 with a safety. And I think Aleem McNeil breaks in there and gets Fields in the end zone for the safety. And I think Amon-Ra's got his touchdowns. And I think Sam Laporta adds another. 36-10 Lions.
Beautiful. Awesome. All right. Action. Red dog.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to really return to form. Just roll over a team here. I think we're gonna. This is gonna be the perfect game where it's going to be like a lot like it was before we hit Baltimore, where we just are like a processing machine, just chewing up everything in front of us and spitting it out. I think we're going to put up a lot of points. I think over 50. I'm going to call it like 56. That's kind of low, but it feels right. I don't know why. I also think the defense is gonna have a field day, a fields day, and contain Justin Fields. And I think it's going to be really effective and hold him to 0 points. I'm calling 56-0. Goff isn't going to have a lot of yards, only like 250. Like, he's going to fall back into that. I don't need to do it all. 250, and then the running backs are going to go off. Montgomery and Gibbs are both going to, like I said, Gibbs near 100. I think Montgomery's going to get over 100, and it's just going to be a field day.
56-0.
All right.
Yeah.
Shutout for the Lions D.
Shutout.
That would be nice.
Because, you know what? It's not just a conference game. Like you said, we're going for the one seed. No, this is division, baby. And I think we're going to be well motivated for this game. I don't think this is a trap game. I think they're excited to go to take on Chicago and destroy them.
I love it. I love it. Kid J, what do you think, buddy?
I think the last time the Lions gave up 35 plus points, they came out the next week and beat the Falcons 20-6. They had 7 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, and like 7 QB hits. I think the Lions are going to put up a similar performance against a team who doesn't have a great offensive line. And I think they're going to get like 8 sacks, lots of tackles for loss.
Wow.
They're going to, they're going to win 31-6 against the Chicago Bears.
Oh, KJ, yeah.
When are you going to come out and finally admit you're a Lions fan? Like, come on, man. You're drinking the Kool-Aid, son.
He's just staying in the closet for now. Leave him alone. He'll come out when he's ready.
Fair enough.
Okay. So, you know, I was looking at some of these stats. You know, the Bears are 19th in points scored, 27th in points allowed, and then 28th in DVOA. Does anybody know what DVOA means? Defense adjusted value over average.
Adjusted strength of schedule.
Does anybody know?
I don't know. I know it factors in your strength of schedule and like how you perform against everyone.
It means statisticians have been getting their hands on our sports too much.
Like, I have no idea what that means. I literally have no idea what that means.
It's an advanced stat that helps like determine like how successful your team is on like a play to play basis. Like, you know, like it kind of lowers like, you know, like fourth downs as much. And like,
we,
you know,
call it
kinda,
sounds like nerd stuff.
It's just a metric. Yeah,
we call it a comprehensive statistic.
Nerd talk is.
If we were good at numbers, we wouldn't be doing a podcast. OK,
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, if I brought up DVOA in high school, they would have shoved me in along.
Abacus?
You mean more often than they did?
wait a minute.
I think the idea of a trap game does exist, and I think Campbell is completely aware of this, and I think he's going to want to come out early, hard, and often. I mean, just beat the fuck out of him in the first half, like bad, okay? I think the first half is going to be similar to that Packers game early in the year, probably like 28-0, something like that. We're just going to pour it on fast and hard. You know, maybe have that little let up in the third quarter, but come fourth quarter, it's going to be all a running game. Montgomery is just going to run all over the Bears for his 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. So my final score is 45-6. The Bears will eke out a couple lucky field goals, and that's all they're going to have. That's it.
Field
Lions
goals
will crush them mercilessly. And I think it's important that Campbell gets his team to come out really fast and hard and not let this game kind of, you know, linger on close, you know, for the first half. I don't think he wants to see that at all. I think he wants to see us just put the flame in his ass right away and just beat him hard fast.
Job,
so 45-6 is my prediction.
That'd be awesome.
And then my prediction. So the Bears, they have DJ Moore. Justin Fields looks like he's back this week. But in a way, that's positive. At least Bajent, you know, he has a few turnovers, but overall, I would say he's more conservative, kind of goes more in the flow of the offense to a degree. Obviously, Fields is much more athletic. Quarterback and the Lions have had their problems with rushing quarterbacks, but this is a bad Bears offense. They do not have an identity. They can run the ball decently. Dante Foreman likes to fall forward 3-4 yards. Khalil Herbert, I believe, will be back this week. This is a team that's looking to rebuild, though, which, you know, I don't know if they went over this in the pod, but Montez Sweat has a that whole trade and signing his contract at this time in their rebuild is an interesting. I think it's going to go poorly, but and I think they overpaid. Nonetheless, my prediction this week is at least a double digit victory for the Lions. This is in Detroit. I think that's a big factor as well. On the turf in Detroit, the Lions are going to put up 30 points this week. Actually, 31 to be exact. It's going to be a 31-14 victory for the Detroit Lions at home over the Chicago Bears. And the Lions will continue their threshold on the NFC North. So I look forward to this weekend. I look forward to Ford Field getting rowdy. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope the rest of the podcast went well. Sorry I couldn't make it. We'll be back with the live stream on YouTube. That's at DTBK. Subscribe on there. You'll get notified when the live stream goes up there on Sunday night. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Big Z. And as always, go Lions!
All right.
So if I'm not mistaken here, let's see. What Bob, Connor, KJ, Red Dog. We all picked the Lions to win this game Sunday. Oh, my God.
What?
Huh? Yep. Wow. Every one of us picked the Lions.
Guys, I just don't know if I can get over how crazy that is.
Even our Bears fan predicted a Lions win. Literally everyone.
Our Bears fan picked a Lions.
Wow.
That's the first time someone's come in the den and predicted a Lions win, I think. We've been doing this for a while.
And also remember, folks, when Campbell's going for it on fourth down, you know, wear your diapers, you know. What was his exact quote? I can't remember, but put your diapers on if you're
He's like,
scared.
If you have a problem with it, wear a diaper. That's
awesome. You got to love Campbell, man. That guy is a walking quote machine. He's fantastic. So anything else would you guys like to talk about tonight?
I just want Drew's kind of thoughts on the organization as a whole, or where he thinks the direction of this team.
Well, I think growing up, it was very easy to point the finger at the Fords and say, oh, it's them. Like, it's the Lions are never going to pull it together. And then we start getting a little bit better, and then trade away Matthew Stafford and get Jared Goff. And I'm like, this is just the worst thing that could have happened. And I was super mad about that. And then I feel like it could go down as one of the best trades of all time. They get their Super Bowl. I'm going to say in the next 5 years, we get one, or maybe two if we stay on the same track. I like it. So, yeah, I think that that is I'm really happy with where we're at right now as a team. And as long as we stay healthy and keep going for it on those fourth downs, I think we'll be just fine.
Hell yeah.
Let me ask you another question. Yeah. You're kind of a youngster, so – I mean, Bob and I go back a lot further. But who is your all-time favorite Lions player?
I would say Javid Best. I love watching him run the football. Could say a legend like Barry, or I love watching Calvin Johnson too. But man, if he could have stayed healthy, I think he really could have. Really could have done something for the Lions. He was sweet, though. He was sweet to watch.
That's an interesting choice.
You got to love Gibbs.
Yeah.
He's got a similar skill set.
Yeah, no, I love Gibbs, too.
It may be better. Oh, man.
What about
you? Yeah. I love that pick.
Gibbs, that's awesome.
He was awesome, Best.
Yeah, he was.
Schlesinger for me.
Schlesinger?
Corey Schlesinger, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super stud.
Well, I got to show my age, and I got to say Len Barney, because he was my first football idol ever, and he made me a Lions fan.
Yeah.
So, I'm going Len Barney. God rest his soul. He's not dead yet, but he's sitting at like a nursing home down in Texas somewhere and having a little trouble with money.
His family's all trying to get his money.
Sad. Sad story. Len Barney, a great, great player.
Yeah.
Number 20 again. Him and Barry and Billy, the great number 20s.
You know, I'll say Roy Williams. I really loved Roy Williams as a kid.
Ooh, yeah.
And when we traded him to the Cowboys, awesome. It worked out perfectly because then he got really bad. right after we traded the Cowboys.
Yeah, he launched us for a couple of good years after that.
It reminded me of the Giants. You know what, though? What's his face?
Connor, I loved Roy because you know what he did?
What?
He made some entertainment come out of that 0-16 season. Every time he'd get that first down that were so rare and get up and all like, he'd be like, yeah. Like the one thing to cheer about the whole game.
It was awesome.
It was a first down. Roy Williams getting us all hyped.
And he gave Megatron his name too.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
He named him. He coined that. He did. Yeah.
Roy was the best, like most acrobatic, ridiculous catch receiver ever, and then like a basic standard ball to his chest, he just could not handle.
It was awesome. You never knew where you were going to go with him, but he made some fun plays.
Then we did a great trade. We got two first rounders for him, but they blew what they drafted.
Brandon Pettigrew. Wait, no.
But it was a good trade.
Yeah, it was Pettigrew, wasn't it?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
Pettigrew. So.
Oh, well, Pettigrew was pretty good. But
at that Stafford. I don't know what the other Stafford, though, right? We traded Roy away.
Well, Stafford's awesome. That's my favorite.
Well, we didn't draft Stafford with that.
He went for the niche pick, so I feel like I had to go niche. Obviously, I'd probably say Stafford or Kelvin. But hey, can I bring up one more thing? Doesn't it feel like
maybe two
Ben Johnson might be coaching the Bills next year?
I fear it. I definitely fear that.
Feels like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I'm scared to lose him. I'm really scared to lose him.
I hear on Twitter that sources are saying he's supposedly one of the most coveted coaching candidates coming.
I'd be amazed if he wasn't.
What he's doing with his offense? But you know what?
He'll be coaching somewhere.
I think that leads to another question, Connor. Who do you guys think they're grooming? Dan sees that coming. He's got to be preparing. Who do you guys think? I have a theory, but I'm curious if you guys have any.
Probably the wide receivers coach
Scotty Montgomery?
Scotty,
I don't know the guy's name. He's the tight ends coach, receivers coach they brought in to help out and then be an assistant. I don't know his name. I can't remember, but I thought they were just specifically grooming that guy.
Well, I think Dave Phipp is really impressive and has been doing an extraordinary job on our special teams. I think he would do great. I have a feeling, too. He's all football. I think he might be on the radar there, too. Oh, and he calls plays already.
Dave Phipp? Is it his name?
Phipp. If you listen to his interviews, he's an interesting guy. He'd been around football his whole life. His dad was a coach. Like, I think I got my eye on him because you're going to have to replace Ben. Wow. And he's been learning under Ben probably this whole time, was if they're planning it that way. Yeah, like,
he seems
kind of
psycho to me.
That's great. Ben's a sicko, according to Decker, so why not a psycho?
UJ, the Lions tight ends coach, is a Tanner Engstrom. I guess he's the passing game coordinator.
Yes, that's the guy. Thank you, KJ.
Okay. Tanner Engstrom, passing coordinator. That's
nice. My gut feeling is that, Campbell knows what's going on. He's grooming this guy. He's specifically grooming this guy. So, but I don't know. Like you said, they're thinking about the future, too. They know Ben's not going to be here that long. So.
Dan can always call it too.
But I'm sure they're mostly just concentrating on this year, though, because we have Ben right now. And
absolutely.
I'm surprised we're talking about coaching changes.
I was just bringing it up because the Bills had a bad game and fired their OC, and I think it's going off the rails for them.
Oh, no. Ben Johnson's going to be offer somewhere.
He's not going to, if he can't go there and be their OC.
No, I know. Firing
Andy
the
Reid
OC is the start of eventual coaching changes in Buffalo.
Right.
Oh,
right.
You think the Bills are going to totally switch? Okay.
I think they might.
Well,
they're definitely
underperforming for the talent.
When you have a Super Bowl window and it closes, you fire people.
Yeah.
Unless you're the White Sox, then you promote everyone. But most franchises fire
everyone. Good point.
Nice.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yeah. You go to one of the worst teams of baseball to get your. Let's get the Royals to get their secrets.
Yeah. On that note.
Anything else, guys, before we wrap up here today? We're all good.
No, Connor's going to the game.
Connor,
look for him.
Yeah.
Yes. Running out on the field.
I'm 4-0 watching the Lions live this year, going for 5.
Well, if you can sneak down to the sideline, tell Campbell to go for it on fourth down.
I don't think I need to tell him. I think he's going to do it.
What a great call on fourth and two.
Fourth
down?
Man.
Just go for it.
I know I wasn't on that podcast,
the recap pod, but
it's so great.
Man, that fourth and two call was my favorite Dan Campbell call of all time, I think.
Absolutely. But that's right along with the Packers one last year. Remember, Well, I don't want to give them another chance at the ball.
Yeah.
We get a first down, game over. And that's what
sometimes I feel I like I'm in Dan Campbell's head, or like we share a wavelength or something, because I feel like whenever he comes to third and short or four, like he always wants to go for it. His default is, I want to go for this, and then he has to like restrain himself.
I freaking love that
on their own 30.
It's like, damn it, I settled for that field goal, damn it.
Oh boy. All right, yeah. On that note, I think we'll wrap it up. I'd like to thank our special guests today,
Drew.
Jim Riley and Drew Kavanaugh, for coming on. We really appreciate your time, sharing it with us Lions fans. Thanks to all the fans who listen to this podcast and for loving the Lions as much as we do, because we do love this team, man. I don't know what it is. It's just in our blood, man. Mm-hmm. Seeing that helmet, seeing that lion, I don't know, except for those gray uniforms and all that, but that's another issue. But anyway, thanks to Sideline Report for hosting our website. Follow us on Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid and Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. And you can find us on almost anywhere that podcasts are potted out. So anyway, anything else I remember?
Last but not least.
Last, but. No, no.
Oh, do
no,
we thank our producer?
Ah, oh,
thank you. Ah. Oh, my God. Oh. I almost forgot.
Good call.
Also, like to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
God, that was bad. Sorry, Kid J. It's all right. We do love you, though.
You deserve better than us, Kid J.
He's taking his talents to the Rams podcast after that.
And last but not least, as always, go
Lions! Woo! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.